We're learning, this is the third sugya in this daf about Kavod HaMelech. We discussed about the Melech being done and done, and also we discussed Eidus of the Melech. Now we're going to discuss Kavod HaMelech. We did touch upon this last week a little bit, where the Toz asks a very, very interesting question about which one is a greater Kavod, the Kavod of the Talmud Chacham or the Kavod of the Melech. Let's read through that Toz. Toz writes, based on Yana HaMelech, who was told to Amud al Raglecha, Vim Tomar Ha'amin and Hasam, we learn that Talmud Chacham ain't Tzarech Lamod. The Talmud Chacham does not need to stand on his 2 feet when he's involved in a din Torah. Mishum de hayase v'hayase. The ase de kavod haTorah, adif, the kavod Torah that we have to show is greater than the ase of involved in the din Torah, and therefore he gets to sit. So why shouldn't the Melech sit as well? One would imagine kavod haMelech is greater than the kavod haTorah. The chayvin de Chacham ein tzarich lamod. Kol shekein Melech the tvei adif Melech mitamr Chacham. A king's kavod is greater than the Talmud Chacham. How do we know? What's his raya? So the assumption here is that a kavod of the king is greater. So this is the answer is so we're going to focus on the king, which is a very important message for all of us. And the other explanation of the chacham, there's no question, says tells us that the kavod that one has to bestow upon a talmud chacham. His adif is greater. Vim kain, afa pishein tam chacham hayat tzarech lamud. Even though he doesn't need to stand, yana hayat tzarech lamud. So let's just, before we go ahead, just a side point. I'm not sure who was here on Shabbos, or Weinberger spoke on Shabbos, that he was up in camp, he was in Camp Kaley, and someone goes around the views, called the Jewish views, and he asks questions about the three questions. I was there also, so he asked me questions as well. So one of the questions Rav Weinberger didn't answer, he may have forgot this question, that what is the greatest of this generation, what does the generation need the most? What do they need to do the most? What do they need to work on the most? So I usually, this guy asks me a question, I say whatever, it's like the first thing on top of my head. So I happened to have, when I was in Camp Kaley, they called the Gedolim Day. I wasn't there for the Gedolim Day. I came after the Gedolim Day, or after they all left, and I was speaking in the Mass Medium program. This is what a Gadol is. You don't be a Gadol, this is the opposite. Two tracks you could take. So I spoke afterwards, so the guy who was asking the questions to Rav Weinberger and Rav Davin Feinstein, and Ruben Feinstein rather, and who else was there? Rav Willow was there. Who else? And Rav David Cohen was there. So after all of that, so then he had asked me, what do I think the generation needs the most? And I said, Kavod Rabbanim. Kavod Rabbanim. Why do I say that? Because we have a few Svardim in the shul. And when you see the Kavod, a Svardi shows a Rav. So the Ashkenazim, any Svardim here? No Svardim. At least they're Svardim. Okay, so. So he has an incredible Kavod Rabbanim, I'm sure. The Sfardim have incredible Kavod Rabbanim. The Ashkenazim do not have Kavod Rabbanim as much as they should. And it's a wonderful thing to see. So that, because there's the day of a Gedolim Day, and he came Kaley, I figured that was something important to respond. But you see from here that the Kavod of a Talmud Chacham is greater than the Kavod of a Melech. That's important for you guys to realize, to show Kavod to great tzaddikim, and also for yourself when you learn Torah, how important you become a Talmud Chacham. It becomes a... become something greater than a melech. So then, Vayter in the Gemara, rather in Tosos says, so how do we explain the difference? If it's true that the kavod of a Talmud Chacham is greater than the kavod of a king, so how come the Talmud Chacham can be mochon kvodo and the king cannot? So he says, the reason why, the hide the Talmud Chacham yachalim chal kvodo, mashen kin melech, bishim kra, the kamar som tasim, shetei emaso alecha, ki kvodo balo mishim mitzvah sabakum kachu. There's a mitzvah deraisa, that the mitzvah makom, that you must show kavod, we'll explain that in just a second. Beinu yachal afki mitzvah makom, he has a right to forego that requirement min haTorah. V'atamna chacham tarasa delay, this is also an important line. V'yachal limchal hetev al kvodo tishelahu. It's his, he owns it. This is an important piece as well, just again, parenthetically, to keep in mind, the Talmud Chacham owns his Torah. He owns his Torah, both in his kavod, the ability to be mocha, but also it comes up in Choshen Mishpat. The questions of stealing the Torah with Talmud Chacham, taking his notes, taking his shirim, taking things like that, he has bailus to it. So if a person tries to take the Torah, the notes, the shirim of another Talmud Chacham, you are stealing his object, that which he owns. It becomes a big question of intellectual property, which is discussed, can you steal a person's inventions, his various ideas. So this is one of the rives, they say that the Talmud Chacham Torah is the day he owns it, and he might even have bailus in Choshen Mishpat for it as well. The on this, just similar to this, there's a Gemara in Pesachim that says Rabbi Shimon Levi's son went up to Shemayim and came back to life. And it says, Ashrei Misha Balkan Tamud B'Yado. Praiseworthy he who comes up to Shemayim in Tamud B'Yado. What does Tamud B'Yado mean physically in his hands? Rasha says he comes B'Yado with his Sefer. He writes his own Sefer. A person should write his own Chidushei Torah. A person should write his own Sefer. And that's what Tamud B'Yado means, his Talmud. Not the Talmud Bavli, the Talmud Yushami. His own personal Talmud. It becomes his. He creates Torah. He owns the Torah. He creates Torah. It becomes his on every level. So that's just a parenthetical point. You guys should all write your own Chidushei Torah. You should all write the Svarim. I actually happened to just have a conversation this morning with someone from one of the publishing companies, hopefully writing a Sefer of mine. It's a chashuv thing to get to the point of writing Svarim. That's what the Marsha says. Everyone has their own unique Sefer. Okay, back to our sugya now. So the Melech. The Melech who's mocha kvodo ein kvodo macho. So Tosa says, why? It's mitzvah hamakom. So mitzvah hamakom, it's the mitzvah. So, you know, at first glance, you might think he's like the Tosa Rush, but I don't think he's like Tosa Rush. There's a requirement to honor the king, and therefore he cannot forego that covenant. So what's behind this? So hopefully you had a chance to see Tosa Rush. And the Tosa Rush, he gives a very, very interesting answer. Happens to be the Marsha gives this answer as well. And Tosa Rush says the reason why he can't be mochel is because it's not his kavod to be mochel. He says that ein yachal limchol, lo mishum da'adav, not because the melech is greater, elo mishum ki la'ashem hamlucha u'malchusa da'aram ein malchusa d'rakiv ein b'yado limchol. He says because Hashem, it's his melucha, not my melucha. Who am I? Hashem put me in this position. He made me a king. That's one element. And number two is the malchus down here is supposed to be me'ein. It's a little piece of the malchus d'rakia. And I have no right to be mochel. It's a reflection of the malchus of Shemayim. And for this reason, he has no right to it. It's not his. The Talmud Chacham's Torah is his. This is not his. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's. Hashem HaMelucha. Now, based on this, there's a Marsha. Marsha in Zvachim Daf Kuf Beis. Marsha says that what happens if the Melech is a Rasha? Does he have the right to be mochel and covered? Would it be any different? And he says, no, it's no different. Why? Because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to be king, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's decision. Same thing. Even though it's a Rasha, Hashem wanted him to be a king. It should not make a difference. That's the understanding of the Marsha. That's the understanding of Tosa's Rush. There's also, perhaps to remind you, what we saw on Daf Chafim Beis about Tosos and the Ran, where they split the Malchus between Malchus Yisrael and Malchus Yehuda. And the Ran said, the Tosa said, he's not a Melech because it's not Meis HaMakom. The splitting of the Malchus didn't come from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ran says, of course it came from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu orchestrated what goes on. Whoever is the president, whoever is the king, yes, we have the right to decide, we get to elect. In the end, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's what he wanted in the world. Whoever the president is, whether you like him or you don't like him, that was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's decision. So here too, the Ran writes in Chafam Abiz that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the Malchus to be split. He chose Achav to be a king, even though it was only in part of the Malchus. That's good enough, because this all comes Lashem Hamlucha. The people have pretty much no say. That's one whole approach. I thought we were in the clear for a while. I thought my errors, I told him to hold off for 45 minutes, but okay. So now, that's Tosa Rush. Rabbeinu Yonah, which I didn't have in Bar-Ilan to give it to you, Rabbeinu Yonah, he said, remember what he says? Anyone get a chance to see what he says? That's what he say? Anyone remember what Rabbeinu Yonah says? That's Rabbeinu Yonah quoting Shita Megabetas. Because Rabbeinu Yonah Sanhedrin in the Zdaf, I quoted him last week. Ashkar, thank you. So it says over here that the reason why is because the Kvodo Shel Yisrael. Kvodo who? Is Kvodo Shel Yisrael? Kulo. The Melch Shelahem Nicker. That you recognize the king through the people, or the people through the king. Like Hilkach Einu Yachal Limchal Kvodo Shel Yisrael. And when you have these big, you know, meetings of all the big countries of the world come together, they have a president of the United States who doesn't know how to communicate properly, they all laugh at the president and they laugh at America. Because the president represents the rest of the country. That's how it works. So now we all feel like idiots because our king represented us in such a way at the summit, in Europe summit. So it's not his kavod, it's not the kavod of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's a kavod of Am Yisrael, and he has a right to be mochel Am Yisrael. Now, there could be a potential nafkamina between these two. what would happen if Klal Yisrael would be mochel on the Kvodah? Would that work? So it would be taller than this, then. If the Kavod comes from Klal Yisrael, so then if they all decide to weigh in, they all take a unanimous decision that we're mochel on the Kavod, then it would be effective, or the Mechil would work. But if it's the Kavod Shemayim, then the Klal Yisrael has no right. Now, how would one be mochel? How could you even, just as an interesting point, because we're learning this Masechta, how would one assess whether Klal Yisrael would be mochel on the Kvodo? What? As Sanhedrin. The many times the Sanhedrin and Bezdin can serve to represent Am Yisrael. And if they represent Am Yisrael, so maybe they could weigh in and say that the we're mochel, and the Melech can be mochel in that regard. But Lefi Tosfos HaRash, this would not even be a discussion. It's not their right to be mochel. So that's one nafkamina. Now Rashi seems to say a different explanation. Rashi in Ksubas, Daf Yud Zayin, says that the mitzvah of Kvod Melech is on Klal Yisrael. Yisrael, whose haru she'asimu alem simos harbe, that they have a requirement to constantly have fear, to place the fear of the Melech upon them. And the Shita Megwetz explains that kol shah shemochel al kvodo hare kilu hisir atmo melech v'tzarech atalasimu alach michadash. So what's the Shita Megwetz saying? Whose kavod is it? Whose kavod is it? Any thoughts of this Shita Megwetz? Who kavod this is? The Shita Megwetz says that when the Melech is mochel on the Kvodo, it works. It works. According to Tosfos HaRash, it wouldn't work. It's not his. It's not according to your opinion, it wouldn't work either, because it's not his either. It's either Am Yisrael's or it's a Kavdash Baruch Hu's. The Shita Megwetzah says it would work. And when he does so, it's Meisir Atzmo Melech. He's no longer the king. So whose Kavod is it? It's his Kavod, right? It's his Kavod. He has the right. The Torah delay, the Tam Chacham can be mochel on the Kvodo. And the Melech, it's his Melech, it's his Kavod, he can be mochel on the Kvodo. So he's mochel, that works. Problem is, there's a requirement, a separate requirement, of this Pasuk, Ksom Tes Melech HaMelech, on Klal Yisrael, that they have to nonetheless still put upon themselves the fear of the king. And that's why he quotes Rabbeinu Yonah, like what you said, Zach, that the Melech should not do this. He's allowed to, but he shouldn't, because he's putting them in a position here. Because what happens if he's a mochel on the Kavod? Like, what would happen, for example, let's say a great tzaddik walks in, and he says, guys, sit down, don't stand up for me. Sit down. Would you sit down or stand up? Mamasha, Rav Chaim walks in here, and he says, sit down. What would you do at that point? Would you sit or stand? I don't know. He tells you, you want to listen to what he says, of course, but how do you sit down when Rav Chaim walks into the room? So, like, you're in position right now. So the Melech says, I'm mochel on the Kavod. Now he walks in, there's a requirement that you have to stand up anyways. But the king told you to sit down. So Reb Chaim is a different case because he can be mochel on the Kavod and you would not have to stand up. But by the Melech, he's mochel on the Kavod, it works. But the problem is you still have a requirement. We have a requirement to still stand up anyways and show Kavod. So he says, don't do that, king, don't do this, because if you do so, you're putting them, it's a lifting ever case. Because they think that maybe they should sit down now and they really should be standing up. But Lemaisa, the conceptual understanding of the Mechila of the Kavod of Melech works because it's really the Melech's. It's a Melech's Kavod, and he can be Melech of the Kavod.
What was the point of what he said that Klal Yisrael is not an obligation to keep putting it up? Then, even though it's not new with their Kavod, they still just have this Zayr, where they have to put up Melech, even though they're going to hold on.
Exactly. It's like, as the Machna elaborates a little bit on this, there's a requirement that you always have to have a king. You must be ruled by a Melech, and therefore, if he's Melech of the Kavod, it's not, even though the language of Rabbeinu Yonah Shita Megwetzah is that, he's meiser the malchus from them, there's a, it's ki'ilu heiser. It's not really, he's still the melech. But he's just mochel on the kavod element. They have the obligation to always instill the fear. So from his perspective, he's the right to be mochel. For the meiser, he's still the melech, and they have to continue, as many times as he's mochel, they have to reinstate that malchus, reinstate that kavod. But Lemaisa, he says, it is the kavod of the Melech. That seems to be the implication. Now, I believe, yeah, Ilan.
I thought it was a bit of the Yevet that Am Yisrael is a king. And doesn't Shmuel rebuke them for having a king? Like, so, only because you
right.
Asked them.
So we have to discuss, that's a discussion later on Daf, Chafam Abay is about the Melech, whether it's a Rishus, whether it's a Chovah, whether it's a Mitzvah. There are three different opinions in the Gemara. Rishom have different understandings of that. So that being aside, once there is a king, though, then there's a requirement, however he got there, whether he got the Bidyavid or L'chachila, the Ma'aseh there's a king, and you have a requirement to show the utmost kavod and Ema from that king, even if he's Mochel on his kavod. So I think, by the way, this Shita Mikubetzes is most likely the Pshat and Tosos. Tosos, again, back on our sugya, he says, the mitzvah hamakom kachi. That's the mitzvah of the makom. He quotes a pasuk, shetesh emaso alecha ki kvodo balo, mishun de mitzvah makom kachu, v'ni yachal afkia mitzvah hamakom. Maybe not. I'm reading again. Not sure, actually. All right, let's hold off on that piece. Either way, Rabbeinu Yonah seems to say that the melech's kavod is his own kavod, and in theory he can be moch on the kavod. Now, the Machne has a very interesting idea here. He says that we have a special bracha we say when you see a melech Yisrael, a different bracha when you see a melech of an Akum. And there's always a Shiloh, a person meets a president of the United States, whether he's a din of a melech or not. Should you say the bracha b'shem Hashem or not say the bracha b'shem Hashem? So he writes that the lashon that one says the nusach of the bracha of Roa Melech Yisrael is shechalak mikvodo, that Kadosh Baruch Hu somehow bestowed upon the king his own honor. The honor of Hashem was given to the king, and Melech Akum is simply shenasin kvodo. He gave him some kavod, but it wasn't a chelak of the kavod. And he explained because the Melech Yisrael is not his malchus at all, rather to Kadosh Baruch Hu's malchus. And he gave some of the chelak of the malchus of the kavod shemaim to the Melech Yisrael. But the Melech Akum, he says, it's not the kavod of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's his. It's personal. It's the Melech, his own kavod. It's his personal kavod. So he's mechalik between these two, Melech Yisrael versus Melech Akum, and that's the change of the nusach. Now then he seems to take an about face, because he raises a question. He says, wait a second, if it's really true, how could Moshe Benu, who had a din of a melech, how could he serve Yisro? How is it possible he's only a mishamish? He can't be moch on the kavod. Moshe was a king. So he says that really the din is that a melech could not be moch on the kavod is because of the pasuk som tesem alecha melech, not because of the kavod of Shemaim. And therefore he says, even if he's moch on the kavod, so then there's a requirement, like we saw Rabbeinu Yonah, that one has to nonetheless still show honor to the king. He says, by a father and a Rebbe, so they can be mochel on the kvodo. You don't need to have a Rebbe. You can be mochel on the Rebbe. But a melech, there's a requirement that every single person, upon Am Yisrael, to always fear the king, always honor the king, and therefore, it's a must. Now, we pointed out before, Eli pointed out that he seems to take an about face here. Initially, he's talking about the kavod came from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now the kavod's coming from Klal Yisrael. And I thought about that question. I just think he changes his mind. I think he initially had that idea that's kavod Shemayim based on the Nusach HaBracha. But because of this kasha from Moshe Rabbeinu, he ended up changing his mind. And again, the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu was not subject to this din is because the pasuk of Som Tetzem Melech HaMelech is only one to enter Eretz Yisrael. But prior to that, they did not have this requirement, and therefore, since he was able to melech on the kavod, he was able to serve his father-in-law Yisrael. That's the understanding. Because if it was the moch of his Kadosh Baruch Hu's kavod, the Moshe Rabbeinu would have no right any time to be moch on that kavod. Exactly. That you could limit that. If it's something that's melech, but it's about kavod Shemayim, there's no time to change it. Now, you should note that not everybody holds Moshe Rabbeinu as a melech. The Rambam does write it. I believe he writes he was a melech, but not everybody holds he has a din of a melech. There are riots back and forth, but he was assuming Moshe did have a din of a melech, and therefore this question was relevant. Now, the kavod shirim takes another approach. So right now, we have three basic approaches of whose kavod the malchus is. Either it's kavod shemayim, that's Tosfos Rash, it's kavod Am Yisrael, that's Rabbeinu Yonah, or it's kavod of himself, which seems to be Rashi, and Rabbeinu Yonah Shittim Kubetzes is his own kavod. And the kavod shirim of Chanan has a different pshat. He has a different pshat. He's talking about whether or not a topic we did a couple days ago about situations where it's enil fi kvodo zakin enil fi kvodo, is he allowed to be machmir and return the aveda, or no? It's aser for him to return the aveda. It's an old man, picks. He sees a few pennies. He sees a guy drop a few pennies. That's beneath him to pick up a few pennies. An old man, 95 year old, to bend down and pick it up. It's a zaken v'ein lefi chvodo. But can he be machmir? And can he do l'fnishmishir sadin and go ahead and pick it up and return it? Or it would be also from to do so. To bizyon us from to do so. If you have a Rosh Hashiva, go bend down a few pennies. Is that a bizyon for him? So that's a big machlokus in the Rishonim. And Rabbi Hanan writes, so what's it in my melech? Is there an iser for melech to be mochon kvodo? We were talking up until now whether it works or doesn't work. It's an effective or not effective. If it's not his, it's either a Kadosh Baruch Hu's or Am Yisrael's, it doesn't work. If it's his, it would work. But Rabbi Hanan lays on another layer. Maybe there's an iser involved. Is there an iser involved in doing so? So he says, he's based on his understanding, he thinks he's an iser for melech l'mochon kvodo. He says, after am chayavim b'kvodo, after lachamim misa, even though from the am's perspective, they're allowed to, and they have a requirement to always honor him even after he's mochel, but the king has an iser to do so. Why? Because kvod ha-melucha. You have to honor the institution, the government, the melucha. And even the melech atzma has to show honor to it. Honor to the flag, honor to the country, however you want to say it. So does this sound different, the same to you as Rabbeinu Yonah and Sanhedrin? The same, different, any thoughts? Nuances? Rabbeinu Yonah again said this is a kvod Am Yisrael. Different, right? It's a kvod ha-melucha. Meaning, in this, according to Rav Hanan, if Am Yisrael voted, you don't need to honor us. You could step on the American flag, let's say. Do whatever you want to do. According to Rabbeinu Yonah, that would work. They were mocha, but kvoda. According to Rav Hanan, that wouldn't work. It's not there. This is the mulcha. It's the government. It's the country. It's not their decision to make. And therefore, we have four different pshatim, it seems, in the nature of the kavod of Klal Yisrael. Rather, the kavod of the melech. Again, is it kavod shemayim? Okay, everything, every angle here. Is it kavod shemayim? Is it kavod of Am Yisrael? Is it kavod of the melech, or is it kavod of the malchus? Shemayim, conceptually, comes from a kavod shemaruchu. His l'Hashem amlucha, it's Hashem's kavod. This understanding is that the government itself, not because it's Hashem's. We have to respect institutions. You have to show respect to a base medrash, to a yeshiva, to the government, to the malchus. But it's not because of Kadosh Baruch Hu necessarily. See the conceptual difference?
Yeah, but so that's like, you know,
it's no one's. It's untouchable. You can't touch it. But not because it's Hashem's. But you have to respect, if you don't respect institutions, you don't respect the government, then everything falls apart. It could be because of social reasons, it could be, whatever the reason is. But the melucha is untouchable. The pasuk says, don't touch the melucha. Now, fine, there's an interesting Yushalmi. I'm not sure if you had a chance to see Yushalmi yet. Yushalmi has this case where David HaMelech was running away for 6 months from his son Avshalom, a terrible tragedy. And the Gemara says that during those 6 months he had din of a hedyot. As a side point, I believe the Yushalmi says he was punished with teras during those 6 months as well. And there's interesting machshava in that Indian of the melech, like a negateras for 6 months. But either way, for those 6 months, he had din of a hedyot. And his normally the carbon of a melech is a different carbon than a regular hedyot, like you and me. But for those 6 months, while running away, he did not have a din of a melech, he had din of a hedyot. So the question the Achron tried to figure out, why he had a din of a hedyot, why he loses malchus. So the different explanations seem to be taloi on this part of where does his... Where does the kavod or the malchus come from? Does it come from Shemayim? Or does it come from the people? Are they elected? So Avin Ezer writes, in Chelek Yerdeya, Simon Shinyud Beis, number 9, he writes as follows. He says, these 6 months where the king, David Melech, was a hedyot, he said, Lav l'meimra de'ozlo haya din melech klal. Not to say he didn't have a din of a melech. Of course he was the melech. He was anointed the melech to be melech as long as he lived. It's a special din to the carbon, the sayer. The sayer is only brought by a king who's only being only one on top of him is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He runs the world. Since he was running away for his life, he's scared of Avshalom. That means he did not have full control. He was not fully in power. Other people were governing over him for those 6 months. But that was a special din in the Karban Sayer. That was nothing to do with his malchus overall. He was a melech. But put that in contrast to the Karen Orem. Like a work site here. The Karen Orem writes in Hor Yosid Aleph, he says, no, Mamish, he wasn't a king in those 6 months. Because a king's malchus comes from the nation, from the Am. So anybody who accepted upon themselves the king, they have to treat him such a way. Just like you could appoint a king based on the elections, it's a democracy. They accept upon themselves a king, so too, to demote him, to remove him from the position also depends on them. And when he ran away, he mamish wasn't a king, he was a hediot. Mamish lost his malchus. So while the Karen Orah says it depends on the appointment of the people, according to the Avnei Yisrael, it did not depend on the people. It depended on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appointed him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never demoted him, never removed that. So that malchus remains. It was just a special din of the Karban Sayer that didn't apply. But other than that, he had the din of a king. So this question of being a melech, again, it's different than the kavod, but seems to come from the same direction of where does the power come from? Is it from the people or is it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Now, we'll do one last application. Now, there's a lot of room to be mechalik in this din, but dinu de malchus adina. I thought it might be an interesting application of this concept of dinu de malchus adina, that the halacha is that you have to follow the rules of the government. It's a big discussion in what areas, certainly monetary areas, you have to follow all the rules. Contracts, comes to businesses, stealing, you have to follow all the rules. Taxes is the number one. You must file taxes as well. And they argue about how the scope can be applied, whether it goes against the Torah rules, how that works. All these are discussed. Dinu de Malchus Adina is a large, large discussion. Now, why does one have to listen to Dinu de Malchus Adina? It's a clear statement by Shmuel. Shmuel says in the Gemara a few places, Gemara in Nedarim, Gemara in Bava Kama. So why have to listen to it? So Rashbam says in Bava Basra, and Daf Nun Dalet, because he says, Kol ha-masim var-nunios u-minhago shemishpitei melachim, all the taxes and all the rules and all the fines from the melachim, he says, Shekol bnei malchus mekablum aleim mertonim. They are willing, by living in this area, you're willing to accept upon themselves. You appointed a king, you appointed a judge, you appointed a whole government. That was your haskama. You elected them, you chose them. And for that reason, you have to listen to all the rules. The Rambam says the same thing as well in Hilchos Gzeilah Aveda. Hiskimu Allah b'nei ha'os ha'aretz, that the people of the land all accepted upon them the rules, and therefore it comes to the people. You have to listen to the rules. But then Iran in the Dharma, the very end of the last Mar Malkum, Iran is a whole other reason. You know why you listen to it? Not because of it's not because the people agreed to choose this as the king. Rather, because just like if you come into my house, you follow my rules. You come into the country of a king, you follow his rules. It's not because you chose him, but because you decide to live in his area, you must follow his rules. The rules come from the king. It comes from above. It doesn't say HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it comes from Shemayim. But you put yourself in this place to listen to his rules. So he says, therefore, anywhere outside the world where the king owns the country, he owns it, let's say in England, the queen owns the country, wherever the country they own, so you're going to his house. It's his house, his property. But Eretz Yisrael, he makes a distinction where the king does not own Eretz Yisrael. It's the Schalk of the Shvatim. We all own it. It's our property. You have no right over us. And therefore, there's a big chilik between Eretz Yisrael and the other countries of the world. So what we could draw out from this, at least, is that the koach of Dinat Malchus Adina, from the Rashbam and the Rambam, it comes from the people, from the Ran, it comes from the king himself, seemingly from his Malchus, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm not going to even recap today because of all the distractions, but we'll stop here. Mitzvah Hashem. Tomorrow we'll have shir in my house, we'll have lunch in my house. I'll give everyone the address. Today.